preacher tonight is Keith Jefferson, longtime missionary in Brazil, now based in the States, working out of Richmond with International Mission Board, seeking to mobilize all Baptists to be on mission with God, but especially in African-American churches. And among other things this morning, we learned 1, 2, 3, so you remember that. So I don't know if you're going to do that again tonight, but we're ready for you, Brother Keith. And thank you for a wonderful word this morning. Come preach to us again tonight.
Well, let's see if you were listening this morning. Amen. Once again, I'm delighted to be with you. I'm delighted to be in a church that supports for their missionaries, that pray for their missionaries, that send out their own people to carry out God's work. You just don't pray for us. You just don't say good things to us, but you are there to be by our side, to work side by side, and that's a blessing. I bring you greetings again on behalf of the International Mission Board. And I didn't tell you that I have four daughters this morning, did I? I've got four babies. They're 32, 30. They're still my babies. And one just turned 29 yesterday, and the baby girl is 26. You know, Pastor Al, one of the wonderful things about being in other countries is to be with brothers and sisters in Christ worshiping God. I have seen God move in mighty ways in worship. I've just been blessed thoroughly. In every country I've been in, I've been blessed. 23 countries, so I've just been blessed to be with brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know what? I want to give you a little taste of Brazil. Can I do that? And it's a song of worship. You remember the song says, "You deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship as we magnify your name. For you are great, you do miracles, you do marvelous things. There's no one like you, no. There's no one like you. You deserve the glory and the honor and praise." Amen? And since you can't sing the words that I sing, just hold on. And, you know, even when you don't understand the words, you feel the praise of God. But I just told you the words, so just swap them out for the words I'm going to sing, okay? Digno de glória e louvores, levantemos nossas mãos, charamos ao Senhor. Digno de glória e louvores, levantemos nossas mãos, chararamos ao Senhor, porque grande és tu, maravilhas fazes tu, não há outro igual a ti, não há outro igual a ti, porque grande és tu, maravilhas fazes tu, não há outro igual a ti, não há outro igual a ti, Senhor. Aleluia. You are great. You do miracles. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, first chapter. And stand in reverence to God's word. I'm going to read just a few verses. I'll look at a few more, speak about a few more, but we just look at the first three verses, I believe it is. Jonah 1:1-3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found it a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. And Lord, help us to keep our hearts and minds tuned to what you want to say to us tonight. Oh, Father, Jonah was an interesting person. He's a prophet of God. And we find that he had difficulties carrying out the command of God at times. Lord, we ourselves, we have difficulties sometimes in obeying you fully and wholeheartedly. Help us, dear God, to do your will for our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. May be seated. Tonight, I'd like to share with you the title of my message is Unlikely Messengers, Proclaiming God's Word to Unlikely Candidates of Salvation. If you would, repeat after me, unlikely messengers, proclaiming God's word to unlikely candidates of salvation. The prophet Jonah is considered to, by many Bible scholars, to be the first international missionary and spoken about in the Bible, and having done international missions, I want to speak about him tonight. Jonah was a man of God with a message from God to be given to a people who were without God. God commanded Jonah to go. We talked about going this morning. God commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh. It was a command from God Almighty. However, Jonah refused to obey the Lord. You can get in trouble that way, can't you? Jonah refused to obey the Lord. And for this reason, him obeying God, Jonah could be branded as an unlikely messenger of God. I mean, a messenger, a simple messenger, is to get a message to someone. And if you cannot obey the one who is sending you, then you're in trouble. Have you ever told God no when he told you to go? Say that to the person on the side. Have you ever told God no when he told you to go? Somebody did. I saw some of you didn't want to say that. Tell that person. Have you ever told God no when he told you to go? All right. I want you to say that. It's not easy to go because we leave our comfort zone. And many of us don't want to leave our comfort zone because we like to control things like a thermostat on the wall. If it's too cool, to make it a little bit warmer. If it's too warm, make it a little bit cooler. What is it called? Sometimes we become control freaks and we just want it to be exactly the way we want things to be. But no, God doesn't work that way. As a matter of fact, he likes to take us out of control so he can be in command of our lives. Amen. We're like a baby. A baby as it leaves its mother's womb. Does a baby see light before birth? How much light does a baby see before they have? Not much. He comes in, boom! Got light! Baby comes, how warm is a baby inside his mother? What's the temperature? You know, what is it? 97, 98, running a little temp, maybe 99. What is the temperature of a surgical room? It's freezing. It's 50 degrees. They're trying to kill germs in there. And you know, when I was born, and still today, you do not, in some places, you don't breathe quickly enough. Pow! Right back on the roof. So we are sort of like, when we out of our comfort zone, like little babies get hit in the eye. We're in the culture shock. We're in culture shock. And we wonder and said, man, get me out of here. That little baby said, Mama, can I come back? Mama said, no. You're not coming back here, baby. I did too much work to get you into this world. And, you know, when the Lord takes us to another level, he didn't want us going back. I remember when I got married. When I went to college, I remember. I got married when I got to college. But in college, I didn't understand it, Sister Kim, because I went to college, and there was this odor coming from my closet. Dirty clothes. So like, dirty clothes. I never had dirty clothes at home. What's up with this, you know? But welcome to the new world. I had to wash my own clothes. I didn't like that, but I did it. Something that I wasn't, you know, accustomed to. Then I got married, and then I had to check in. You know, you have to check in. You just can't leave work and stop by and get your pair of tennis shoes. But you have to check in. And so I'm thinking, wait a minute, I've been single 27 years. I had to check in. I'm just me, you know. But I just have to check in if I want things to go right. So it's a process. When God, He sends us, we go through these stages, you know, and He's preparing us all the more so we can carry out His work. Can you say amen? When we're out of our comfort zone, we pray just a little bit more fervently. We read our Bibles a little more consistently. We trust in the Lord a little more wholeheartedly. When we go, it's not easy to go. I was telling you about my mother taking me to a place to minister to winos. That's the term that we use, winos. And I was out of my comfort zone. The people didn't look like me. They didn't smell like me. But my mama told me, she said, son, I said, I got up the nerves one day, Pastor Al. I said, Mama, why do we come to these people? They're not going to change. A little 10-year-old, 11-year-old kid, him tell his mama, you know, why do we come here? They're not going to change. She said, son, she said, these people, she was trying to help me understand the situation. They burn all their bridges. You have any friends like that? You have any family members like that? They at home, they do something crazy, boom, they're gone. They go to their aunt's house, uncles, they do something crazy there, they're gone. They go to their friend's house or cousin, and pretty soon they have no place to go. My mother was saying to me, Keith, we may be the last chance that they have to hear about the love of Jesus Christ. I thank God. Mother's gone on to be with Jesus, but we've told many, many people, not just in Brazil, but in other countries, that Jesus loved them, has a plan and purpose for their life. Can you say amen? Jesus is our example in going. Jesus is our example in going. He left the place of perfection to come to a place of depravity and degradation. He left the place of complete bliss to come to a place of turmoil and strife. He left a place where he was held in highest esteem to come to a place where he was rejected by his own. John 1:11 says, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. He left a wonderful place. He left a place where there is no crime. He left a place where there is no dying. He left a place where there is no pain, no shame. He left a wonderful place. He left a place where there's no tears of sorrow. He left a place where there's no fear of tomorrow. Jesus left heaven to be with us. So my question to you, are you willing, let's see, to leave Alabama? Are you willing to leave the USA? Ask the person on the side. Are you willing to leave Alabama? No! Ask the person on the side. Ask the person on the side. Are you willing to leave Alabama? Are you willing to leave the USA? Because God has wonderful things for his children who are willing to obey him wholeheartedly. My mother and my, me and my mother, we were like Jonah. We were unlikely. We were unlikely messengers, Hal, to these people. And they were unlikely candidates for salvation. And sometimes we don't like what God commands us to do. But he's a loving God. He'll never give us anything too difficult. He'll be with us and carry us through every way, every thing we have to go through in life. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ who sees us through. You know, Jonah was disobedient. But not only was he disobedient, he refused to obey God, which made him unlikely, but the brother went AWOL. He went absent without leave. Have you ever gone absent without leave? Have you ever gone absent without leave? We have to be careful. You know, we are soldiers in God's army. We talk about being soldiers. 2 Peter 2:3 says, endure hardship as a good soldier. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes, the plots, the strategies of the devil. Sounds like a soldier, right? When I was a little boy, we had a song, we are soldiers in the army. We have to fight, although we have to cry sometimes. We have to hold up the blood-stained banner. We have to hold it up until we die. Soldiers in God's army, we need to remember a soldier must learn to take orders before they can give out orders. Sometimes taking orders are not easy. But Jonah's intent was to flee from the presence of the Lord. He knew that Adam and Eve tried to hide. So maybe he said, well, they tried to hide. How about if I run away? He tried it, but it didn't work out, Brother Hal. He tried it, but it did not work out. This is another unlikely characteristic of a messenger of God. And there were many people that have tried to get out of the command that God has given them. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the abode of the dead, behold, you are there. God is omnipresent. He could run, but he couldn't hide. Amen? When we disobey God, he has a way of getting our attention. Look at verse 4. He went, he got on the ship to Tarshish, but verse 4 says, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. And there was a mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship was about to be broken up. I am a witness that God can get your attention. And life itself has enough storms. Repeat after me. Life has enough storms than for you to make storms. You see. But sometimes, if we're not careful, Brother Hal, we can bring a storm on ourselves. And not only on ourselves, but we can bring it upon our loved ones if we remain disobedient. Here we find, but Jonah had gone down into the boat and into the lowest parts of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots. So they cast lots. But it's amazing that a person can sleep in the midst of a storm. A person can sleep when things around them are falling apart. God's people have to know when to wake up. Amen. When lost people have to tell you when to pray, Brother Hal, then you know you have a problem. When lost people, I mean, this is a pagan. He goes to him and says, hey man, wake up. Maybe your God will hear us. And we find that Jonah wakes up and he tells them that he is the cause for this great storm. Look at it down there. He said, please tell us, for whose cause is this, verse 8, this trouble that is upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you? So he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid, and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea, and the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. I know this great tempest is because of me. So, my friends, we can bring a storm when we disobey God on ourselves. We can bring a storm on our family. We can bring a storm that can impact the whole church if we disobey. All you got to do is look back at Achan. He said, and they tried to attack Ai, but they lost about 36, 37 men. And it's because of one man. Oh, God, don't let my family suffer because of my disobedience. Amen? Don't let my family suffer. I like this passage about Jonah because he seems to be such an indifferent person to carry out God's will. And one of his greatest problems, he didn't like the people that God sent him to. He didn't like the people. You know, there may be some people that you have checked off. Brother Hal, I don't know how can I put it with the kids here and there, but you know, I talk about heaven as a preacher, heaven and hell, the devil's hell and all that. But some of us, we have a little list. It's, how can I put it? I ought to go to a burning hell. He ought to go. She ought to go. We have a checklist of people who we think deserve to go to hell. The winos. I didn't have any hope for the winos that my mother talked to. They were unlike Kennedy's disciples. The Syrians were known to be the cruelest warriors that have ever lived. Decapitate people. They would cut off the hands and the feet of people, pile them up in a pile. They would skin people alive. If you just read the history book about them, they were gangsters. They were evil. And Jonah didn't want to take any chances. Interestingly enough, they're from modern-day northern Iraq. The Assyrian Empire is in modern-day northern Iraq. It was a place that was not liked by the Israelites. We are in life. I was telling you today, when we work with mission groups, It seems to be always one person to think, I'm just going along. I'm not going to do much. But God uses them in a powerful way to show his power, though we are clay vessels. Can you say amen? Moses felt that he was an unlikely messenger. He said, I can't speak. Jeremiah said he thought he was an unlikely messenger. He said, I'm just a child. God said, no, don't say you're just a child, Jeremiah. Isaiah said, woe is me, for I'm a man. I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. God used me anyway. He wants to use you. Tell the person on the side, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. He may have to send you out of Alabama. Tell the person on the last row. My brother's sitting on the last row. Tell the person. He may have to send you outside of Alabama. So you think you're unlikely. All we need is the attitude of a little boy, Samuel, who thought God, who thought Eli, the priest was calling him. He would run to him. No, I didn't call you. Samuel. He'd go back to Eli. No, I didn't call you. Samuel. No, I didn't call you. Finally, Eli said, hey, man, it appears that God, young boy, God is speaking to you. Just listen to what he says. And so Samuel said, when God calls him again, Lord, speak. His servant is listening. So my question to you tonight, are you listening? Something for each one of his children. You say, well, I'm not important. It could be servant type. We have to learn to do small things before we do greater things. Can you say amen? It is the small things. You may not realize, I don't know my gifts. Come and clean the church.
Well, Pastor Jefferson, that's not my gift.
Well, you may have to learn how to come and help in minor things before God can give you other things to do. He can do great things through people that are open and willing to carry out his plan and purpose. To the least likely, God wants to use. You remember the story? Jesse and his son Samuel came to his home to anoint a king. He had these great looking son. And they pass one by one. Is this him? No, that's not the one. Is this him? No, that's not the one. Is this him? No, that's not the one. Is this him? Six, if not seven. Which one was faster? Six or seven? I don't know which one. But he said, Jesse, you have any other sons? Yeah, I got a little nappy head fella, sawed off fella with the sheep. I got a little nappy. He said, bring him in. For God does not look upon the appearance of man, but he looks upon the heart. So God wants to know, where is your heart? It doesn't matter what you look like. He wants to know what's in your heart. Because he does not look at the appearance of man like men do. Can you say amen? Glory to God.